wasn't in the schedule for tonight, but I wanted to cover this because of us going to getting close to the Shavuot stuff that I'm going to have to do. I could have done it in between, but because we're counting the Omer now, I want to give you some information on it, so I think this will help you. And so take some time to write some of this down. Because I'm going to take Sunday to do the... how many enjoying the red heifer portion of it? Well, I tell you what, Sunday I'm going to give you a lot of information on the red heifer. And we need it. We got to have it. It's got to be incorporated into the whole system, because without it, you don't truly... Listen, the scripture says you are saved, and it says you're being saved. How many want to know what that means? If you are saved and you're being saved, right? That all is told in the red heifer story. So you are saved and being saved is something we'll look at. Very, very important. I've read that over the years. I've come across that reading, and I'm like, you know, and there's different schools of thoughts on that. Being saved comes up, and you go, wow. So I want to make sure we know what that is talking about, so we'll try to cover some of that on Sunday. Now, we just got finished with unleavened bread. In that process, we have what's called first fruits. Now, the first fruits is because the barley harvest comes in. When the barley harvest comes in, they'd go out and cut the barley and sheave it, put it in a sheave or an omer. So also can be an omer. Or an omer can be a measurement, which is about 3.5 liters, about 15 cups of dry, if you're dealing with dry. Liquid, 3.5 liters. So when you need to know these terms when you read in scripture, so you'd see what they're talking about. So when they count the omer, the counting is going to happen after the sheave has been bundled. Then we can't bring the sheave. The presentation couldn't be brought to the priest because we have a Shabbat, which is a high holy day. But after that, same thing that the women, they got the spices but didn't go to the sepulchre until after, because of the Sabbath. So they bought it ahead of time. They knew the Sabbath was coming. So the same thing. So it all works. Everything adds up. And after the resurrection, and that's the process of counting the Omer. It's you start that day and start counting the Omer, and you count for 7 weeks. 7 full weeks. So 7 full weeks would be how many days? That'd be 49 days. 7 times 7, 49 days. And then you count until. So it's until that 49. And then you got day 50. And that's Shavuot. Or in the Greek would be Pentecost. Would be considered Pentecost. Now, why is that significant? It's because Shavuot doesn't have a date set on it, where you keep the feast. So if I'm keeping Passover, I keep it in what month? First month, right? In the first month. So he tells us in the first month we keep Passover. Then he tells us when we're to do that. So you take the lamb on the what? The 10th, and then the sacrifice happens on the what? The 14th. See, we're learning all these things. But there is no date, there is no month where it says keep the Shavuot on this month, on this day. It's the only one. That's why you got to count. If there was a date, there would be no need to count. The counting is to tell them when to have Shavuot. Now the promise is, when they leave Egypt, in 50 days, that there's a process there. He said, I'm gonna give you the law, or the Torah. It's going to be given. So all those are significant. So they leave. They come to the Red Sea. They got problems. The enemy's pursuing them. The Lord speaks to Moses, says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sea's open. They walk across on dry land. They leave from there after their enemies have been annihilated. They come to pursue them. The seas close up and annihilates the enemy. They go from there to Mount Sinai. And the Lord begins to speak with them. That experience at Mount Sinai represents the Shavuot. So there's a counting. They were counting just like there should be a counting. The Hebrew people count. They're counting now. The true Jewish followers, the Hebrew roots group, they're counting the Omer leading up to Shavuot or the day of Pentecost. So I want to give you some information on that so you can think about that. We'll cover as much as we can. It's going to be, I think, an important time. It's a great Bible study to get us something to think about during this time, because this is, how many was thinking about unleavened bread? Removing the leaven. You was thinking about that. And you was participating in that. You was praying. You said, Lord, you know, I want to do better. I want to remove the leaven out of my life, right? What a counting of the almonds, same process you should be thinking about. There should be a building up of excitement. How many's ever been on a vacation? How many plan that vacation months in advance? You plan it in months in advance, and when it gets a little close, say a couple months out, maybe you put a calendar up. We used to do that with our kids all the time. We put a calendar up, and they count on the calendar. How many of you know people, we used to count when the holidays would come? Right? There was an anticipation because it was a festive time. Well, this is what this is about. Counting the Omer, it should be an anticipation of an encounter of power. The Ruach HaKodesh. Think about that. When the Torah is not going to be written on tablets anymore, but on your heart. Think about that. Where you get, when Jesus says, and you shall be endued with power from on high. They're counting. He said, we're going to have power from on high. That's the anticipation we should have right now at this time of the year. Because we haven't participated in this for many years, we have to work ourselves and build ourselves toward that. Let me tell you, I love doing all this Bible things. And I love all this. But listen, there has to be a meaning. It has to have meaning to it. This has to be something you feel, you anticipate. It's something you embrace. And when you do it because you embrace the Word of God. How many believe that He's coming back? That the Lord's coming. Christ is going to return. Well, there's an anticipation. There's sort of this expectation of that. As you read the scripture. Do you know, not everybody has a sense of expectation about that. We ought to. Because He says we ought to. We ought to be expecting that event to happen. Just think this year. On Yom Teruah. Think about it. On Sukkot. Could it be this year? Are we anticipating that? Or are we saying, man, I don't want it to be this year? You never heard anybody would say that when we was wide open celebrating high festive days. We wanted it. Man, it's exciting. It's exciting. That's the environment that has to happen. Because that environment that's happening every day and how we feel, when we come together and bring all of that anticipation together, then everything we do as a group is going to be explosive. That's when a true worship is going to come out. If we want to shout hallelujah, we'll shout hallelujah. But see, what happens is, because there is no anticipation and expectation of that, our hallelujah is based on how good our week went. Rather than that event. Listen, there's going to be an event. And this is all practice. But it's a real event that's going to happen. Listen, they were waiting for an event. An encounter with Yahweh on Mount Sinai. You don't think they were counting? You better believe they were counting. looking at, hey, we got 10 days left. We got 10 days. And that's, I think that's important for us to take into consideration. I have kind of this layout, and I was going to try to follow this layout, but the Lord keeps reminding me. Look, you ever thought about Jesus after he resurrected? How many days did he stay? He stayed 40 days. 40 days. And then he resurrects. I mean, he ascends. But what does he tell them? Go to Jerusalem. Don't, because I'm gone. Don't get out of your counting. Were they counters at that point? Yeah. They kept it from Sinai. So he stays 40 days. He says, you only got just a little bit of counting left. Think about that. Keep counting, because it's going to happen. And did it happen? Scripture says when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Where were they? They were in one place, one accord, pulling together 120 of them. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There was an anticipation of an event. That's why the counting of the omer is so important. You ought to, listen, it's okay. You're not going to go, sometimes we're afraid to do anything because we don't want to go, nobody wants to go back to tradition. Right? So we don't want to do anything. It's okay because you look at the text and you see it. And this was a great time. They would have an incredible, let me read and I'm going to put up this little screenshot for you. And Deuteronomy 16, 9 through 10 says, you shall count 7 weeks for yourselves. You should begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. What was the standing grain at this particular time? The standing grain, meaning it was ripe. Because that's how we figure out first fruits. To accurately get to where we know the resurrection day was. The standing grain was barley. Remember that. Always remember, barley is before wheat. The barley harvest represents the first fruits of the resurrection. The wheat is us bringing first fruits for Shavuot. That's why we bring how many loaves of bread? 2 loaves of this wheat. How many was in that event? It's incredible. So just so you keep that in mind, and those things are significant. We're going to get into that maybe just a little bit as we go through this coming up in Shavuot. So you put the sickle to the standing grain, then you shall celebrate the feast of weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give just as the Lord your God blesses you. So what are we doing as we count in the Omer? We give a free will offering as the Lord blesses you. So you can do all sorts of things with that. Let's go to that slide, Phil, number 6. So here on slide 6, I mean, there's all sorts of things you could get to kind of help you. You can go online, and this is all stuff that's free. You can print out something. So the barley is going to be at the beginning, first fruits. When did Christ raise from the dead? First fruits, the barley harvest. So they go out, they put the sickle to the grain, put it in a sheave or omer. Do they go bring it to the house of the Lord yet? Not yet. We got Shabbat. Then it's brought. They start doing what they do. So what's planted? Once the harvest, what's planted? The wheat. The wheat is ripening in that period. That's the counting of the omer. The wheat is in the ground and it's ripening. It's getting ready. So when Jesus resurrects, does he leave during the ripening of the wheat? No, he stays so the wheat can get ripe. He didn't just stay for 40 days for nothing. He was doing something. What was he doing? Teaching about what? The kingdom. I'm not making this stuff up. Listen, I ain't that good. I can't make this stuff up. I'm just following the dots. I follow the dots, just what it says. So when he's here during the weeping of the wheat, he leaves right before it's time, and he tells them where to go in order for that encounter to happen. Go to Jerusalem and tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. Isn't that amazing? So these are important principles for us to take into consideration. So you could do something. You know, you can have your kids involved in this. They can, you can get little different types of colors of the wheat here and make little things for them to play with or whatever you want to do. But it's okay, because the counting of the omer is a real, real serious thing when it comes to the Hebrews. Because as you're counting the omer, you have a high anticipation of an encounter from on high, being endued with power. You're anticipating that. You're waiting patiently through all this process. And that's something that I think is of great value. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. This is just one of many different things that you could do. The period called the Omer begins the day following the Sabbath during Passover or Pesach and continues until Shavuot, which is Pentecost. The Torah commanded that 7 weeks be counted from the time of the offering of the Omer or the sheave, the offering of the sheave, as it says in Leviticus 23:15-17 and verse 21. We'll look at those. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheave of the wave offering. The sheave of the wave offering is the beginning of the Omer. When you brought that in, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. What does that mean? 7 complete Sabbaths. That means there's 7 complete weeks. So you got to count until. So what the 49th would end on the eve, the evening of day 49, and in the evening, in the beginning of the next day, which would be 50, would be Shavuot. You count until 49 complete weeks, no break in them. So you shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. So you count. So what's going to be the day after the 7th Sabbath? It would be day what? If it's the day after. If I count to 49 and it's the day after 49, how many days that is? 50. He's very clear. Because the terminology he uses in different feast days, he didn't want them to be confused with how important it is, because there is no date. No date for Shavuot. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. A new grain offering to the Lord would be what kind of grain? Yeah, but what is the grain? It's a new grain. We already had the barley, and now we got the what? The wheat. Why? Because it's ripe. My little chart showed that it gets ripe. It's get ripening. It's ripening. And Jesus is here, he's teaching. Let me go to that, because I want to make sure that you see this, because of how valuable it is on this timing. Go to the book of Acts. It won't be up here on the slide, but we'll go to it in our Bibles. Go to the first chapter. Verse number 1. In Acts 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. What did he do over that period of 40 days? He was doing what? Speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if that does anything for you, but to me, if you are told you got 40 days left to say what you want, say whatever you want in 40 days, it's all you got. You're not going to talk about nonsense. You're going to figure out what's the most important thing you can tell people. How many here, if you were told you got 40 days to live, and your family's going to come in, y'all, you can talk to them, you're going to have 40 days, you're going to talk about stuff that's important. You're not going to talk like you got all the time in the world, and you're not going to want to waste any time. Jesus had 40 days, and he talked about things pertaining to the kingdom. That's that week time. That's counting the Omer. Keep that in mind, because that is very, very, very significant to what we should be doing at this particular time. So verse 4, he said, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days from now. Very important. And keep that in mind as you go through this. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? So in this whole conversation that he's telling them about tarrying in Jerusalem, speaking to them for 40 days about the kingdom, they ask this question. Is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, what are you going to receive? Power. Power. So it's a big day. It's a big day coming up. When the kids were young, I remember we put the calendar out, and we were about a month out, you know, about a month out from going on vacation. And we'd have a marker there. And they'd get in from school, they'd run to the calendar so they can put the line through it. Anybody ever done that leading up to an event? It's a counting system where you count that. We're done with that. And you can count how many days left. Oh, we'd get down to a week left. They say, oh, we got seven more days. You ever seen anybody do that? I've seen my children do that. I've seen people do it. They're waiting for that event. That's how we should be acting right now. The counting the Omer has to be that high anticipation, like excitement, because it's there. So when the day, in Acts 2, we'll go just right over, just across the page or turn the page, chapter 2, verse number 1. And I'm going to cover this during the feast itself. But it says, when the day of Pentecost had come. How many see that? When the day of Pentecost had come. When Shavuot comes, you want to be in the right spot on the right day. Because you ever heard this saying? Some people's just a day late and a dollar short. You ever heard that? It's like a common thing that people will say for people. Or maybe you said it about yourself. Man, I'm always a day late and a dollar short. And it's a reference to what somebody else received in abundance, you didn't receive because you were a day late and a dollar short. Well, I can tell you, God doesn't want us a day late or a dollar short. He doesn't want any of that for us. That's why he says, count the armor. Anticipate it. It's going to be. And that's what Jesus did to encourage them. He said, I'm telling you, don't leave Jerusalem. Can you imagine when you see your leader, your rabbi, taken up into heaven, and they all standing there gazing, and the angel said, what are you doing? Don't stand here gazing. Just like you see him go, he's coming back. Can you imagine that? It can be a little disheartening. The one that you just asked him, are you going to restore the kingdom? That's what they wanted. That was the high expectation. Let's get this. Let's go get it done now. Are you restoring back the throne of David? Are we going to take back what's been, literally taken from us? He said, it's not for you to know. He said, but this is what you need to know. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. Because it won't be but a few more days. Because we're counting the armor. That the Spirit of the Lord is going to come and you'll be endued with power from on high. That is very, very, very important and very valuable for us to understand when we're looking at it. So keep that in mind. And we'll cover Shavuot when it gets here. But it's hard to talk about counting the armor and not cover it in somewhat talking about this. Now, let's see what else I want to do. Let's look at Corinthians, because this is dealing with this. I think it's a foreshadowing of what to anticipate. And you got to know it, because the counting of the armor is at the first fruit. The first fruit, then you count, and we got the presentation of the wheat, which is the first fruit again. The first fruit of the wheat. We got first fruit of barley, then we have first fruit of the wheat. So let's look at this again. And I covered some of this last time talking about first fruit. But 1 Corinthians 15, it won't be on the slide. You have to go to it in your Bible. In this 15th chapter, look at verse number 20. And let's just, and we've seen this several times, but I want to read it again because it's so significant to what we've been talking about for this, for every service this entire year. So let's look at it. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. So we celebrated that. We had Passover, which was, he died for us. Christ is our Passover, is what it says. But I mean, thankful we're learning that he's not just the Passover. Not just the Passover. Because the Passover, listen, the Passover lamb could be slain, and the priest didn't have to go through any ritual because he became unclean. He remained clean, and he was dressed in the garments of being clean. But if you sacrifice the red heifer, you were clean, and you became unclean. And there was a difference there, and that's something that we have to make sure that we understand. I'll talk about that on Sunday more than I did, but that's, so Christ was not only the Passover lamb, but he was the scapegoat for Yom Kippur and the red heifer sacrifice. But isn't it amazing? Just think about this. How could we be so faithful and participating in Bible reading and study and all those things, yet know so little about very significant things in Scripture? As faithful as we are. Can you see how the enemy could do a lot of things in a lot of different ways so we're not looking at everything? That's why we're taking some time to say, Lord, what is it that we need to know this? And consciously crying out to the Lord, Lord, I want to know this. That way we see it in its fullness. That's why you had very little teaching on the red heifer. Yet it's so significant. How is that possible? So that's why we have to be so cautious to make sure we cover ourselves on a daily basis. So in Corinthians, he says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all will be made alive. How many see that? So in Adam all died, in Christ all will be made alive. Then he says this, then he goes, verse 23, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Remember that. Christ, the first fruits. What is that? The barley. Christ, the first fruits. The barley, the sheave, the almer. The first fruit. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming. At his coming. So that's significant. Very important. So we're counting to what? Be endued with power from on high. High anticipation. Think about the children of Israel. Because in their situation, I had a little slide that I put. The Omer count to Sinai. That's for slide 5. The Omer count to Sinai. And think about it. They had high anticipation. Because they were told that they were going to receive Torah. And they were going to hear from the Lord. And that was so they were counting. They were counting. Can you imagine leaving Egypt and getting to the Red Sea? And you're counting. And you get to the Red Sea and you're going, wow, it's over. We're going to throw the calendar away. We'll lose. We're going to die. But God delivered them. Brought them out of freedom and delivered them. Very important. And so I hope that you see the significance of these events that are of great value to us. Now, number 9, Phil, in verse 17, you shall bring from your dwelling places. We're counting number. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering. So we're counting the Omer to Shavuot. So what should you be thinking about this whole time? You know what we got to get out of the habit of? When the day before Shavuot, we go, oh man, I forgot, I got to break 2 loaves of bread. No, listen. This has to become serious to you. You know, whoever done, oh man, I forgot it was Christmas. No, you do weeks in advance, we were getting the ladder out, climbing on roofs. You understand my point? For what? This matters. This really matters. We should be counting that. And if you don't do it, there should be no expectation from someone else who doesn't have that understanding for them to have any kind of high expectation about the Holy Spirit encounter that we should be excited about. We're talking about power from on high. He said, you shall be endued with power from on high. And that's explosive power that he's talking about. Power to get things done that ordinarily you couldn't do without that power. How many want that? That's what we should be anticipating. Very important. So you bring 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour baked with leaven. With leaven. There we go. So it's baked with leaven. As first fruits to the Lord, to Yahweh. How many want to do that? How many want to take part in that? So listen. This ought to be something that you for sure know well in advance that you're preparing and wanting to be ready for this time and this event. So this whole time they're with Jesus. So think about the first 40 days of counting the Omer. You could say the 6 weeks counting the Omer. It should be a time to learn. A time to study, learn about the kingdom. What was he teaching during that time? What was Messiah teaching about the kingdom? During that time, it would be a great time to go over some of the messages about the kingdom and thinking about the kingdom, leading to Shavuot. And the whole time you're doing this, you're saying, you know, I'm about to have a chance to come before Yahweh and present a wave offering with 2 loaves with leaven. Meaning they're going to be you're going to take. The leaven is not saying that, okay, now we can have sin back in our life. That you got to understand, it's used in many different ways. It also, leaven can also be representation of the kingdom. And we see that in some of the parables he talked about. So you have to look at that. The context controls what definition you use for that particular leaven. Does that make sense to everybody? So think about this. The whole time we're counting the Omer, you're saying, I want to take some time to make sure that what I do bring, I took the necessary time. That's why we have the space of time to make sure I prepared well. Because you're going to wave before the Lord. Think about that. Now, did everybody stay? Listen, over 500 witnessed him go away. 120 made it to Jerusalem and waited. That's a lot of loss there. But they, let me tell you how you stay excited and activated in the kingdom. By a high anticipation of an event that you yearn to have. You remember when Joseph was in Egypt and he had his first encounter with his brothers? Joseph was not dumb. And we ought to know that by his story. He was in touch with God and God gave him wisdom. He was a smart man. And you can see how Joseph would play on him. Says, okay, here's what we're going to do. And you remember he put their money back and made them look like they didn't pay. And he said, okay, I'm going to keep one of you, but you got to go get the other ones and bring them back. And let me tell you, when he sent them out and he kept the one, he was marking his calendar, counting. It won't be but a few more days. My father is going to walk in, my young brother. You understand that he's going to come. I'm using the one I keep to bring the one I want. That's what he did. And they said, no, keep us. Don't keep him. It'll kill the father. It'll kill him. You got to let us bring him back. He said, no. And so it was his means to get everybody there. But his high anticipation was counting. And what happened when he got the day that it all arrived? What did he do? He went in and he cried and he was so grateful. It was like a time, just high anticipation. Finally, all the stuff I've been through, all the stuff that I went through, and now I have this day to celebrate. That's what you should be doing during the counting of the Omer. It's understanding that. You can take Bible verses, you can personalize it, you can do whatever you want with it, but to do nothing is not counting the Omer. Do you understand? To do nothing is not counting the Omer. You should say, well, I'm going to set aside 1 hour a day, and I'm going to make sure I study 1 hour a day. That's going to be, and it doesn't have to be in any particular area, because if you study the Bible, you're preparing yourself for the kingdom. You can say, I'm going to read the Psalms. I mean, you can say, well, I'm going to do Proverbs during the counting. You won't have enough chapters, but you can at least go through it and hit the Psalms or whatever. But you understand, there can be something that you're saying, I'm counting the Omer. Very important time. 7 weeks. You can do something every day during those 7 weeks. And that's showing our activity. Now, verse 21 says, on the same day, you shall make a proclamation as well. See that? So on the same day, you shall make a proclamation as well. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout all your generations. So we're in full course on that particular day when we get there. We're going to have a time here. We'll have service. If you was here last year in the Shavuot service, we had the tables. And that's, again, it should be something that we're participating. Listen, here, let me just tell you this. How many want to participate in the activities that we're learning? How many think it's important? Well, don't wait for somebody to come and say, hey, you want to help? Why don't you go to the people who are putting it together and say, what can I do? So what can, nobody ask me. No, you should say, what can I do? Give me something to do. When can I show up? That's a high anticipation of an encounter with Yahweh that he promised. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see what I'm talking about? Very, very, very significant. Very important for us to understand this. Because of this ritual of counting, the period between Passover, Pesach, and Pentecost, Shavuot, came to be known as the Omer. In fact, Shavuot does not have a fixed calendar date in the Bible, but rather falls on the day after the completion of the Omer count. That is the 50th day after the Omer offering is brought. So on that day, they went up a room. Remember, I read that to you. And that's so significant. When you see that and you look at it, you see how important that is and valuable that is. Now, you can look at that again in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound. Now, 40 days is a long time to have a resurrected Savior preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that all these people, over 500 at one time, you know, seeing him, hearing him. Scripture talks about how he came. Remember when they went fishing after he had died, and he rose and he had these encounters. They knew that he was there, but they wasn't sure. Two men walk into Emmaus. He comes in the middle of them. They out fishing and they see somebody there, and who is it? And Peter recognizes that it's him. He jumps in the water, and goes there. And on the shore, what is there? What's on the shore? What's going on? It's fish. Broiled fish. It's cooked. It's already prepared. If Jesus was the only one there and they were on the boat, who did that? Who did it? And they had their breakfast was there. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 15 again. Look at verse number 6. Just so I can, I'm saying these things, but I'll give you some points here. It says, after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. So, we're not making these numbers up. These are numbers that are in the text. So I just hope that you'll see that. So if you wanted to reference that, that was for you to be able to do. Okay, Leviticus, did I read that one to y'all? Did I give y'all Leviticus text? Just want to make sure I gave you some. Did I read Leviticus? I don't think I did, huh? Yeah, y'all got 15 through 17 and verse 21. So take some time, read that. But here's what you could do. You could take some time to go over the counting of the Omer and how significant it is to prepare your life. Because if not, when the event happens, we don't want to be as the children of Israel were at the mountain when this encounter with God started and they said, we can't take no more. We're not ready for this. We don't want to be in that position. But if we have high anticipation and we know what we're about to encounter, when you encounter the Holy Spirit, you have to understand what they were thinking about. What did John say? He said, he, talking about Yeshua, he says, he is greater than I. That's what he said. He's greater than I. I'm not even worthy to undo his shoes. He said, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he is going to bring a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. So you got to think about that. You know, okay, what's about to happen? What's this encounter? So they're all praying, and when suddenly comes, and the rushing mighty wind happens, there's something going on there that they were given, they opened themselves up to allow that move of God to happen because he knew it would prepare them to do what was required of them next. You ever wonder what's required of us next? What are we going to do next? What's our plans for our lives? Do we want to show forth the power of God in our lives as he's expecting us to? Do we want that? So counting the armor leading up to from the barley harvest all the way, put it back on just that little screenshot I did. So when you count, take some time to think about it. This is a time that is I'm getting ready to be able to present myself as fully ripened wheat. Not some, when were we supposed to plant? That whole approach, I don't think is going to go well over with God. Not very well. And that's what you see happening. I see that, and that's not something we should immediately in the barley, we should start preparing ourselves because that was a first fruit, and we're going to be at another first fruit at Shavuot. See, it's bound in the sheave at the back end, and it's the presentation. The only thing is we're to bring two loaves of prepared. Think about that. We have to go to Jerusalem. You and I have to do something in order for that, the encounter of that event to take its position in our life. We have to participate. The ones who didn't go, over 500. But the ones who didn't go, they didn't have that encounter. Now, some of them, it came much later. But what happened when they come out of that experience? What was different about them? Power. They had authority in the Word. They had insight in the Word. Peter preached and 3,000. There was a recovery of what was lost. How many died at Mount Sinai? How many people died at Mount Sinai? 3,000. How many came to Christ after Peter preached at Shavuot? 3,000. There's a recovery, as it were. A getting back what was lost. This should be high anticipation. You know, it's all about everything else we did is there's a certain expectation on what you have to do, how much you got to spend, how much you got to do to show face or to keep up with whoever. That's not what God does. God says, I'm going to do something for you. You shall receive power. You're going to be rewarded. You're going to have the understanding. You're going to get the gifts. You're going to get these things. That's amazing to me. So I hope that we could take some time, and that's why I wanted to just take the time tonight just to point out some of these things when we're dealing with the counting of the Omer, simply because of how significant it is for us to be able to participate in this. Now, let me give you one more thing here. Okay. Slide 13, Phil. I'll give just a couple more things and then we'll close. In the third month after the Jews left, or the Hebrews left Egypt, they arrived in the Sinai desert and camped opposite of Mount Sinai. Moses was then told by God to gather the Israelites together to receive the Torah. In Exodus 19, verse 1 through 8, the Israelites answered, "All that the Lord has spoken," notice that, "all that the Lord has spoken, we will do." In Hebrew, that means we agree to do even before we have listened. Don't even have to finish. I'm going to do it, whatever you want me to do. Well, we know that it didn't turn out that way. But let's read this text, and then we're going to read it again during Shavuot. But I want to read this to you as Exodus 19, verse 1. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt. To the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Think about that. "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples." How many want to be that? But how can we do it without the seal of the Spirit? And you can't even get arrived there without counting the Omer. You understand, there's no date. There's no date to Shavuot. You have to count. There has to be an anticipation. There has to be an excitement. You have to believe what he said. He didn't say go on this month on that day and that's going to be Shavuot. You have to go back to Passover. You have to celebrate the Feast of Passover, and Christ has to become your Passover. Then you have to believe with everything in you that he rose from the dead. We call it the first fruits. Because if you don't believe the barley has been put, the sickle has been put in, the sheaf has stood up, the omer starts to count, then how can you prepare for the wheat harvest? You can't do it. So when I say, "Oh, I'm going to do it," you can't do it because you have to count. 1, 2. You have to have 7 weeks. 49 days. How many see that it's not just come and I'm going to do it kind of, everybody has their own way to kind of hook up with God. I mean, that sounds like talk you do on the street. Hook up with God. Listen, you got to realize that God is not man. Number one, the moment you reduce God to your level, you done messed up right there. He's the one that brought everything into existence, including us. Who here wants to take the position that the clay is equal to the one that formed you? You'd have to be out of your mind to think that. How can the clay... What about the vessel? The vessel that's made. How many of them have been going along and just, dirt all of a sudden starts shaking and water starts jumping on the dirt, and all of a sudden you sitting there and this phenomenal thing happens, and all of a sudden a vessel sitting there, a clay pot or whatever. They don't make themselves. Somebody's got to go get the clay. Somebody's got to take the time and take the stones out the clay. And they got to start working it on the wheel. And they got to make the vessel. And even when the vessel becomes made, they don't throw it away. They take out the rest of the debris until they get just clay. Sometimes we got a stick in there or a rock or something going on. And it's going, no matter what you do. And how many's ever seen a guy spinning that wheel and it's going so fast? And if there's any little thing, it'll throw it off. It'll do all kinds of things. That's why it's got to be clean. Then he makes the vessel. Then he puts just the right amount of heat, not too much, but just enough, kindles that thing to get it right. And it's all, then he paints it beautiful, puts it, gives it a new life. Wow. Could that vessel say, we equal? How's that possible? That vessel don't even exist without the Creator. That's a problem that people have today. Somehow God has been reduced down to just being just like us. No big deal. It is a big deal. There's a Most High God that we have to reverent in fear, with a reverential fear and respect. How many can see that there's been a loss of respect when it comes to talking about God? Okay, God, oh man, you know, it's been a rough day, God. There's no humility there. What you mean it's a rough day? What about humbling ourselves? Say, God, you're so amazing. That's how he says to start praying. Not like he's your buddy. When God's your buddy, he ain't your God anymore. But you humble yourself and say, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is above and beyond anything I can even try to think or imagine. And you give him that respect. When you do that, it's amazing things happen. Well, here, they say, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all people, for all the earth is mine. There we go. Start with that. How many here own the earth? We barely trying to own what we got, and then when you think you own it, the government come take it from you tomorrow. That means you own nothing. How many pays taxes on your land? Let me see your hand. If you got land, you pay taxes. You own nothing. Let that settle in. Don't, before you go talking about what's yours. You're a renter. I'm just telling the truth. You rent. Because if you owned it and it's yours, that means it's paid for. You don't have to give nobody anything. Let me look over here a little while. Just so you know. Before we get thinking we got something. You know what God says? The earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and said, before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. He don't have to say anything anymore. Whatever he's going to say, we're going to do. Moses brought back the words of the people to Yahweh. So, this is where we are. We're counting the Omer. We've been counting from first fruits. So continue counting. We gave the dates for you. It's been being announced since, I think we gave the dates from the first of the year. So you have the dates. Are they posted on the bulletin board also? So we kind of give every kind of means we can for you. Please, please, whatever you do, don't get in the habit of thinking, well, I didn't remember. This is a big deal. All right, we're going to Shavuot, which is the day of Pentecost, and this is an amazing encounter that happens, and without that encounter, you're not going to have the power that you need to make it. And so hopefully that we'll see how serious that is. So I want the power in my life, and I'm anticipating and thankful for it every day. So continue to count the Omer leading up to, what's the dates? June the 3rd. So it's back there. We'll have our service here. Start preparing yourself. Don't wait till the day of to say, oh man, I gotta get flour. Come on now. You know, let's not do that. You know why you decorate leading up to something? You're anticipating it. You're celebrating the event before the event. You remember to tell you what that means in Hebrew? Count the Omer, celebrating before the celebration. Is that okay? That's what you do. So somebody said, hey, y'all want to come over? We having 2 loaves of bread. You bring 2 loaves, I'll bring 2 loaves. What are we doing? Celebrating. Getting ready for the day. For when we have Shavuot. So there's so many things you can do. So much fun. How many remember when we first started this a few years ago and I told you, if you want stuff to do, you're going to have all kinds of stuff to do. Right? Because it's not like you go with God and all of a sudden you got nothing to do and it's boring. It's up to you and I. If you want the anticipation of Shavuot, to a lot of people, they lost out. A lot of people, they didn't make it. But 120, they got there. And let me tell you, something happened to them. And there's explosive power, it's authority that comes in your life. And we get to honor that annually. We have an annual honoring of that celebration, of that event, when Holy Spirit comes and fills you, or you're being baptized with Holy Spirit. And I gave an example of what being baptized means versus being filled. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's some things that's explained in there, what you have to do in that process. One of the things you could read, and I don't know if I'll get to it, but it's Leviticus, I don't know if I remember, 14 maybe, okay? The cleansing of the leper. You can look it up. It should be in your title somewhere. But takes the leper, the cleansing of the leper. So we take hyssop. Remember I talked about hyssop? And you take scarlet line, and what kind of wood? Cedar wood, and you wrap the, and you take a live bird, and you wrap it with the scarlet line and the hyssop on the board. Then you take that board, and you dip the board and the bird and the hyssop and the scarlet line in the blood of the other bird. There's 2 birds. One's killed. The other one's alive. And you dip it, and then you let it loose. So there's a cleansing. The dipping literally means, if you look up the word, it means to be baptized. It's not just a sprinkle. It's literally a submersion of the bird in the blood and let it go. So what happens is the bird, the one bird dies for the other bird. That's what it represents. And the other bird can't just have the death of that bird, which represents a lamb, but he has to have everything. That what is it? Hyssop, cedar, scarlet line, that red heifer. Then it's turned loose and cleansed. See? Very important to us. So how many know that Jesus, he was the one that represented the first bird that died. And he died for the brother that represents us. Can you imagine that? To me, when I read it and I start looking at him, I go, God, you're so amazing. Every way you look in Scripture, there was nothing that was done that was just to have something to do. It was all significant and all means something. So when you read it in Leviticus, you come across that, you'll see that bird was let loose, but it was covered by the blood. It was covered. And so I am so thankful. So we see right there with the bird in Leviticus, what we see. We see the cedar beam for crucifixion. We see the scarlet. And what did they do? They stripped his clothes and put scarlet robe on him. Right? Scarlet robe on him. And so that was to represent, though your sins be as scarlet. So he bore that for us. And the hyssop is used for the sprinkling of the, and that's exactly what was used at the cross to give him the sour wine. The hyssop. They take the red heifer blood and do what? Sprinkle it toward the tabernacle at the gate. All of that's significant. So I hope that this helps you, because as we count in the Omer, these are some of the things you should be thinking about. We're counting in high anticipation, because you have to have the seal of Holy Spirit. Remember, that's the promise. And Jesus said this, I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you comfortless. The comforter. will come, which is Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Comforter of knowing that the Spirit of the Most High, not only the Most High, but the Spirit of Christ is also called, because he went to the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father. Remember that. So it's the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ, all the same. Because he's where? At the Father. The price has been paid. And so that's important. How many of you know the devil knows that the goal is ultimately to be as God, but not out of turn? See, he said, just eat from the tree of life, you'll be as God. God says, you're going to get there, but you're going to do it on my terms because you broke my command. And there's only one way you get there, on my terms. So how many understand there's a difference there? We're going to get somewhere because we're created in his image and his likeness. But that's been turned upside down because of iniquity. So this thing, you can go on and on. Let me tell you, there is no shortage. If you're in any way struggling with anything to tell people or talk to people, that's why we need this Shavuot experience, because you have power to do that. It ignites inside of you. You can't explain it. I know you. Sometimes I try to explain it to my. You can't explain it. You trust God and you do it. And when you do it, it's like it ignites. And what you didn't have the power to do the day before, somehow, some way, by Holy Spirit, you now have this energy and this excitement in these words that are just coming. That's by Holy Spirit. That's why we need that. So I pray that this has helped you and that it's instructed you the way it's been doing for me on a daily basis. So keep counting the armor. It's an exciting time. And don't forget, start preparing. Start preparing 2 loaves from every household. Well, we did 2 loaves. I don't know if every household brought 2 loaves last year, but we had more loaves of bread than we knew what to do with. So we definitely want to limit to 2 loaves per household. So if you don't know how to bake bread, you got 40 days to learn. No, 49 days to learn. It's easy. Okay? Not no more. I mean, but we done had this already, so you should have known. All right. Well, I'm done. Thank you so much.